Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
My name is Daniel, and I'm the lead pastor of this church. Welcome to church, everybody, especially if this is your first time coming to our church. Our slogan here is "No perfect people allowed." We gather here every weekend to celebrate God's grace and goodness in our life, in forgiving our sins. We're not here because we think we're better than the rest of the world, but that's the good news, isn't it? Jesus died for the sins of the world, and if you choose to put your faith and your trust in Him as your Savior, you too can receive the gift of eternal life. So that's the good news. I want to welcome our YouTube viewers, podcast listeners as well. Thanks for joining in today. We are on the last week of our series, Three Questions Every Child Needs Answered. And as I started this series, I said, and I want to say it again, that I'm not claiming to be an expert on parenting. I'm still on the job training. My son is 11 years old. He hasn't gone through that teenage years yet. So I'm going to be calling some of you parents who've been through the full cycle. So we're here to learn together. I'm not here to speak as authority before you, but I learned from my mistakes. I read some books, and most importantly, I tried to put into practice the principles that I learned in the Bible so we can learn together. So that's the first thing. Second, your child will probably never ask these three questions out loud, but they are asking these questions. You adult, you asked these three questions yourself when you were younger, and depending on the answers that you got, kind of shape the person you are today. And I'm believing that throughout this series, God is going to heal you from your past wound. God is going to remove some of the baggages that you have. God is not about the past. He's always about the future, forgetting what is the past. I believe God has a wonderful plan for your life, adults as well. And if you're not a parent, I want you to lean in. I want you to pay attention, because a lot of the principles that we talk about, they're actually applicable to all of us as well, whether we are children or parents ourselves, all right? And finally, I just want to acknowledge that parenting is one of the most exhilarating things that we can do in the world, but it is also the most exhausting, the most heartbreaking. And I feel for some of you single parents out there, for those of you who are having it tough right now, my suggestion, my advice, my encouragement to you is don't give up. Don't give up, all right? The seeds that you have planted, you know, a lot of things in life, they're really out of our control, right? I mean, you try to do everything probably in your power. You're not perfect, but you tried your best, but, you know, you think it's not enough. Just trust God for it. The most important thing is continue to be present in your child's life. Do not give up, all right? So, very quickly, let me just recap what we talk about. The first question that every child needs answered is, what are my boundaries? What are my boundaries? Remember, you're not just parenting in the present. It's very easy to parent in the present. They want to play with iPad? Let them play with iPad, for example. Problem solved. You get your R&R time. But remember, parents, you are also parenting for the future. Don't just parent in the present. You need to set boundaries. You need to put some disciplines into your kid's life, all right? And this is one of the biggest problems as well that I've observed, that you parents, you need to know your boundaries as well. You can't always water the yard of your child, you see. You have to let them struggle. You have to let them figure things out. You have to let them suffer consequences. You can't bail them out all the time. Otherwise, they will not know how to handle things in life. You need, especially if you have adult child in your home, maybe they are over 20, you need to know where your boundaries are. Okay, that's the first question. The second question is, do you love me? Do you love me? And the best way for you to express your love to your child is by being present in their life. Pay attention to them. Go to their soccer training. Just be as present as possible. I know you can't be with them 24/7, but you gotta be present in their life. You gotta give them the attention. You gotta fill their love tank. You gotta say that you love them out loud. They don't know it unless you say it, all right? So every son needs to know, they need to hear that we're proud of them. Every daughter, right? They need to hear, especially from their father, they need to hear that they're beautiful. Every child needs to know that they're such a blessing to have in our life. You need to tell them that you love them. And finally, you need to love them unconditionally, right? Because we have been unconditionally loved by our Heavenly Father. And as a Christian parent, especially, if you're not a Christian parent, you have an out in this. But as a Christian parent, we have the responsibility to show unconditional love to our children because God has first shown unconditional love to us. And they won't know that God loves them unconditionally unless you, as a representation of God in their life, show unconditional love to them. If you miss any of these messages, please go to our app or, you know, go to our YouTube channel or listen to it on the podcast. All right? Now, we're on to question three. But before that, I'd like to lead us in a word of prayer one more time. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you that we are reaching the end of our series right now and you have been blessing us with this truth. Father, I pray this morning as we listen to your word once again that we open our hearts and our mind to listen to you. I know we're not here by coincidence, Lord. You want to speak to us, so help us to listen. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with me, say amen. Amen. All right. The third question that every child needs answered is, how can I win the big battles in life? You know, our kids are having it tough nowadays, more so than any other generations before them. These are some of the challenges that they are facing right now. The battles our kids are facing are things like entitlement. More and more kids are feeling entitled these days. More and more young people are suffering from depression. We're exposed more to pornography than ever before. We're struggling with sexual purity, fitting in, underage drinking, relationships, employment, faith, you know, and the list continues, right? Now, these are real battles that our kids are facing. And for some of us parents, we're really good, for most of us anyway, this is just my observation, that we're really good at preparing them for employment. That's why we send them to school. Some of you parents, you fork out big money to send your kids to private school. Why? Because you want them to have success in life, and your definition of success is that they get employment. They will get employed. They become smart. But that's only one part of the battle that they have to face, right? I mean, we are made up of just different components in our life. We have not just the mind. I mean, that's what we care about, the IQ, right? But remember, we also have a heart. We also have soul. We have body. So you got to pay attention to all these different parts of us as well. We're good at taking care of the body, usually, for our children and also their mind, but we often forget about their heart and we forget about their soul, which to me are the two most important things. When Jesus was asked the question, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Right? All the four. Now, why don't we prepare our children in all four of these areas? It's so, so very important. Bond University did a study recently, and this is very recent, March 1st, 2017. And in the article I read, surveys of the key skills employers seek in graduates continue to place soft skills. They call it soft skills. Like the ability to communicate verbally with people inside and outside an organization. The ability to work collaboratively in teams and to influence others. They're all in the top 10 of the most wanted list by employers. And I read recently a statistic that is right up to what it's saying here, that, you know, in America, 50% of job openings available to college graduates, 50% of all job openings available to university graduates went unfulfilled, not because they were not qualified, but they went unfulfilled because, according to employers, the graduates lacked the basic skills necessary to function in an office environment. Can you imagine? These are university graduates. Can you imagine that? That's why we need to prepare our children for life. I know some of you parents, your approach to parenting is, we're just going to let them figure out life on their own. Well, that's one way to parent, but I'm telling you, that's a terrible way to parent because it is your responsibility because you have the experience. You have the knowledge. You have the good desire for their life. So Proverbs says this, teach children how they should live, and they will remember it all their life. Another translation says, train up a child in the way that he or she should go, and when they are older, they will not depart from it. We're going to teach our children how they should live. If you don't, the internet will teach them how they should live. If you don't, Hollywood will teach them how they should live. If you don't, their friends will teach them how they should live. It is your responsibility, whether you like it or not, parents, to teach your children how they should live. And when you do, they will remember it all their life. So the question is, what are some of the things that we need to teach our children? Because there's so many things that we can teach them out there. So I'm just going to list a few. This list that I'm going to give you, by no means they're exhaustive, so please add to this list, remove one that you don't like. You know, it's not rocket science, it's not the Bible, but I believe these are some of the important things that we need to be teaching our kids. Are you ready? I have five to give you this morning. The first one is, you've got to teach them self-awareness. You've got to teach them self-awareness. David in Psalm 42 says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? See, David watches his self-talk, because your self-talk is very important. Instead of being discouraged, instead of being sad, David said, I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again. He's my Savior. He's my God. It's very important what you say to yourself. You know, what you say to yourself is more important than what God says to you. Let me repeat it again. What you say to yourself is so much more powerful than whatever I can say to you, or anybody else can say to you, or even God can say to you. Because you know what? You listen to your self-talk, don't you? You listen to what you say about yourself. You know, this is just the basic of emotional intelligence. When you see a donut, there are two ways to look at a donut, all right? You can either see the hole in the middle, and when you do, you become a critic, or you can see the whole donut, and when you do, you're a performer. And depending on how you see life, it is very, very important. It's going to affect you for the rest of your life. A critic, for example, will use self-talk like this. If only. It's not possible. He made me. I have no choice. I have to. See, this is not owning to your problem in life. This is a critic talking, and it's very, very dangerous. But if you see the donut as a whole, this is going to be your self-talk. I'm sorry. I choose to, I want to, I can, I will, I'll learn. I may not be able to save $50 a week, but I can save $5 a week. I may not be able to run for half an hour on the treadmill, but I can run for 10 minutes on the treadmill. I'll do it. See, that's a performer talk. A critic will just say, it's too difficult. It's too difficult to get out of debt. It's too difficult to diet. Oh, it's too difficult to do this. That's a critic talking. And your kid, let me tell you, parents, it's very important. You got to teach them to do a good self-talk. You got to tell them that they're aware of who they are in God, especially. They are the son and the daughter of God, your kid, right? They need to know that. They need to know, hey, I'm God's son. I can do anything through Christ who gives me strength, right? Isn't that what Philippians says? I can do anything through Christ who gives me strength. Your children need to have that confidence, all right? They need to be aware of who they are. They're loved by you as their parents, and they're loved by God, and they can do anything with God. James 3:5-6 says this: a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. Your tongue, your self-talk, you know, how you use your word is very, very important. It's very powerful. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. And listen to this: it can set your whole life on fire. If you're not careful, if you don't watch what you say to yourself, not even God can say anything to you, because you listen to you. You don't listen to God. If you listen to God, you must make that your talk as well. Okay, God is saying this to me. It must be true about me. That your self-talk is very that important. All right? So that's the first thing. The second thing that we need to teach our children is we need to teach them to be patient. We need to teach them to be patient. Instant gratification, no good. Delayed gratification, good. Whatever language you want to use, but patience is very, very important. Teach our kids to pursue what's important later as opposed to whatever they want right now. All right? It's very important. Failure in life is to get what they want right now at the expense of what's important later. That's why Jesus keeps saying, store for yourself treasures in heaven. Sow, and then you will reap. See, it's not instant, but we live in an instantaneous world now, don't we? The microwave that we have, the internet, the fast internet, the NBN, you know, we get upset. If you ride on a plane and you got delayed by like half an hour, you got upset. You can't even, you know, understand and appreciate that you are participating in the miracle of flying. You are flying. Come on. 15-minute wait and we complain like crazy, right? But that's the kind of world that we live in right now. We're just not patient. We don't have self-control. We want things and we want them right now. Proverbs says this, better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. That's why a lot of people, even though they're smart, they're intelligent. You have doctors, nurses, engineers, architects, you know, they can get sabotage emotionally. We call that in a emotional intelligence language, we call it emotional hijack. A lot of people, even though they're smart, they get hijacked emotionally a lot. That's why when you go to the supermarket, you will see mom like losing it to their kids, right? And on the road, you see like an otherwise intelligent person, like an engineer or a doctor, like losing it through road rage. Why? Because they don't have self-control. They don't have that emotional stability. They don't have the patience, you know. It's very, very important. Psalm 37, verse 7 says this, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways. Some of you adults are struggling with this. You look at the people around you and you wonder if what you're doing is right. God says, do not fret when they carry out their wicked schemes. You just have to trust God that you are doing the right thing. All right? So we got to teach them patience. Delayed gratification. You don't always have to have things right now. All right? See, our tendency as parents is like to provide now because we just want to get out of it. Right? That's why I said parenting in the present is very easy, but parenting for the future is a lot harder. Right? How about this? In the area of sexual purity, one of my favorite authors, Andy Stanley, says this, purity paves the way to intimacy. Purity paves the way to intimacy. Yeah, sure, you know, nowadays, with the exposure over the screen that our children have, you gotta put some sort of security control. By all means, do that. I'm doing that in my house as well, all right? But giving them the why is so much better than just putting this, you know, into, your children have to know, why do you do what you do? You know, because purity paves the way to intimacy. The best gift that your daughter can give to their future husband is their purity. The best gift your son can give to their future wife is their purity. We need to teach this to our children. You're going to love your husband so much in the future. You're going to love your wife so much, and you want them to be happy. You want them, you want to express how much you love them, and this is one way that you can do it, all right? So teach them to wait. Teach them abstinence. Teach them patience, because instant gratification is not the answer to life, okay? That's number two. Number three, related to this, is we got to teach them perseverance. We got to teach them perseverance. Look at this. James said, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Notice it says, whenever you face trials. What does that mean? It's not if, but whenever you face trials. That means you will, in life, face trials. Your kids, in life, they will face trials. And consider it pure joy when you face trials. You know why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We need to teach our kids to persevere in life. There will be many trials that they have to face. They need to be able to persevere to those trials. They're going to be facing trials in their marriage, in their work, in their school. You know, if you don't teach them to persevere through trials, man, you are setting them up for failure. I don't know if you know, but have you heard the name Angela Duckworth? Angela Duckworth? How many of you have heard the name Angela Duckworth? She literally set the internet on fire through her TED Talk that has been watched I don't know how many million times. And Angela Duckworth, who's a professor at one of the universities in the U.S., she did a study on what is the common trait of every successful people. This is like one common trait of every successful people. And when, you know, obviously the world defines success as success in the business world, in the corporate world, and so on. But still, she says, the one factor that is common among all the successful people is this one thing that she calls, are you ready? Grit. Grit. That's just another word for perseverance. This is what she says. Enthusiasm is common. Endurance is rare. Grit is rare. Perseverance is rare. Everybody is enthusiastic about something. Hey, let's do this thing. Yes, let's do that thing. But very few people persevere. Very few people persevere through their marriage, through their hardships, through their trials. Endurance is rare. Grit grows. Learn to dust yourselves off after rejection and disappointment. Learn to tell the difference between low-level goals that should be abandoned quickly and higher-level goals that demand more tenacity. That's another word, tenacity. The maturation story is that we develop the capacity for long-term passion and perseverance as we get older. As we get older, we gotta teach our kids to persevere in life. That's one of the best gifts that you can give them. All right? Number four, so far we've been talking about just themselves. They need to be aware of who they are. They need to watch their self-talk. You adults, you need to watch your self-talk as well. So maybe no one has taught this to you. We need to teach them patience. We need to teach them perseverance. But it's all about themselves, right? But this one is important because if you only teach them how they can grow as a person, but you don't teach them to care about others, they will grow up good maybe, but selfish. So teach them empathy and compassion. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. So we need to give this to our children, empathy, compassion to our kids, because, you know, they will need this, right? Your children need your compassion, parents. They need your empathy. Don't just lecture them. You need to be able to listen and hear them as well. Don't be too quick to teach. Listen. Have empathy. Know that you care about them, all right? And model. You got to model empathy, because if you don't model it, they don't know how to do it to other people as well. Why do we praise God? Because He gave us comfort so we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Some of you parents, maybe you have not experienced God's compassion and comfort in your life. Maybe you don't know Jesus this morning. I'm telling you, you know, God is not mad at you. He's mad at your sins because your sins destroy you. But God is compassionate to you. You know, He's so patient with us. He doesn't want any one of us to perish, but to have eternal life. So my encouragement to you is get to know Him. Get to know Him. Open your hearts, right? We're going to teach our kids empathy and compassion. And probably this is the most important one. This is the last one as we conclude. Teach your children to love and depend on God. You know why? Because you can't be everywhere with them. Because you can't be where they are at all times. They need to know that they have a Heavenly Father that cares about them, that loves them, and they need to love Him back because of it. You see, the best gift, parents, please listen up to me. Listen up. If you've been checking your phone and all that, this is the most important part. The best way for you to make your children depend on God is to introduce Jesus to them. Introduce Jesus in their life. Because when they put their faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says they will be given the Holy Spirit to live inside of them. You see? And the Holy Spirit, parakletos in the Greek, para means alongside, the Holy Spirit will walk alongside them. See, like I said, you can't be everywhere with them, but God will never leave them nor forsake them. The Holy Spirit will be the inside voice in their heart that will continue to remind them in every challenge of life, in every situation. So the best gift you can give your children is the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit will be the God that will go wherever they go, all right? And God will be their Father. Listen to this. This is so important. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give to you today are to be on your heart. So you parents, first of all, need to receive God's love so that you can put His love on His command on your heart. And this is the important part. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. That means you need to make this spiritual conversation, if you like, a normal daily part of life. Don't be weird about it. It's just you got to make it as natural as possible. And if you think like, but that's just not me, it's going to be weird. No, you got to start somewhere. All right? You have to start somewhere. I didn't grow up in a family that show physical affection. So, but Hulda, my wife, is a hugger. She's the type that says, I love you a lot. And I learned to say it out loud. I learned to hug. And now, guess what? Even my parents, we say, I love you to each other. And they're older. They can learn. Everyone can learn. After a while, it's not weird anymore. The first time I say, I love you to my dad, it feels weird. But after a while, it's not weird anymore. Same thing with spiritual conversation. If you make it just a daily part of your life, don't have to be weird about it, then, you know, it's going to be a natural part of your life, just like eating and drinking. So let me give you some tips how you can do this very quickly. Have a growing faith and dependence on God yourself, because you can't give what you don't have, right? So you got to model this, first of all. And then second, pray and read the Bible with your child daily and talk about it. If they go to our kids' ministry here, you have a handout that you can use to have a conversation with your child. And it doesn't take long. This is the beauty. It only takes like 5-10 minutes for you to spend time and just pray a passage and then just say, what do you think that means? That's very interesting, isn't it? You know, and let your child discover God's word for himself or for herself and let them learn to depend on God, all right? Number three, make spiritual talk a normal part of your activities. And I thank God that, you know, Jaden is very involved in what we do as volunteers. And Fulda is a volunteer here. I'm a staff here at church. But he prays for me all the time. This morning, I asked him, hey, Jaden, Daddy's not ready for today. I think you better pray for me. And Jaden lay hands on me, and he prayed for me. And we talk about this all the time. Hey, you know that there are always new kids at the church. You know how you feel when you go to your new school and you don't know anybody. So if you can make them feel welcome. And, you know, we talk about spiritual stuff all the time as if it's like a natural part of life. And you can do that as well, all right? And I'm so happy. Yesterday we were driving to the mall to fix his broken glasses, and Jaden said this to me, Dad, God spoke to me last night, and because we've been talking about through the Experiencing God series that God speaks to us all the time through His Word, and Jaden asked like, how does God speak to us? And I said, well, He speaks to us through many different ways, Jaden, through the Bible, through your parents' situation, and sometimes God just impresses it upon your heart. And Jaden was like very confident, said, God spoke to me last night. And I said, what did He say? And Jaden said, He wants me to be kinder. He wants me to be kinder. I said, that's good, Jaden. I mean, you're already a kind boy, but it's good. It's always good to be kinder. See, it becomes a natural part of our life. You can do it. I'm confident that you can. Four, establish some rituals. Consistency and stability is the key. One expert on parenting says this, tongue-in-cheek way, but the point is clear. He said, the best thing you can do for your child is plant a tree at your house and don't move for the next 10 years. Don't move for the next 10 years. You know, a lot of parents, because of career, because of, you know, whatever, they uproot their family from one place to the next. They uproot them from the one church to the other church. It's not good for your children, because children need consistency and stability. They need to know that you love each other as husband and wife. That's the best confidence, the best confidence booster that you can give to your children, that stability. You know, if they know that you love each other as parents, man, they grow up emotionally very, very healthy, right? Establish some rituals. Coming to church every week is very important. Let me tell you, I'm not just saying it because I'm your pastor, but coming to church every week, exposing your children with some of the other adult figures other than you that can speak the same truth into their life is extremely important, because there will be times they will come to a point where they don't listen to you. But if there are other adult figures in their life who have the same values as you, teach the same thing, that's the best thing, again, that can happen to them. The other day, Our kids leaders have a sleepover here at the church. I don't know how many kids we have, but 40 kids or something. And they sacrifice, I mean, these volunteers, they sacrifice their weekend to sleep with your children right here so that they can have fun, they can bond, they can have relationship. I'm so proud, especially I want to point out this guy, Ben. He's amazing. He loves kids, I'm telling you. This is the other leader, Amanda. I don't know who else. Artie, our director, she loves children like I don't know, you know. I love kids, but I don't want to spend a weekend with them here in the church in the cold, I tell you. But they love your children. The best thing you can do is just to bring them to church regularly, expose them with adults who love them and have the same values as you, all right? Now, before I close, I want to show you a short video. It's a movie clip from a movie called Ray. It's about Ray Charles. How many of you know Ray Charles, the blind musician? He's been called many different things, the genius. He's the father of soul. He combined gospel, R&B, with country even. Songs like Hit the Road, Jack, Unchain My Heart, you know, all those great songs were written by him. But do you know that he was raised by a single mom, and he became blind when he was 7. And in this scene, the scene when he was turning blind, was very powerful. It kind of illustrates everything that we talk about in the past 3 weeks, about setting boundaries, about telling your kids you love them, and about setting them up for success for future battles. Watch this video, and I will conclude with a word of prayer.
Ray, come on and let me put this salve on I got from Dr. McCloud.
No, I don't like it. It stinks.
Boy, get up here. I paid a whole dollar for it, and better work. Now hold up your head like the doctor says. This is gonna make you feel better.
Ray, come on in for dinner. And stop rubbing those eyes.
Ray, I ain't gonna beat around the bush with you. You going blind. The doctor saying nothing they can do, so we gotta do it ourselves.
Yes, Mom, I know, but...
Stop it. Stop it right now. We ain't got no time for no tears. Ain't nobody gonna have no pity on you just because you're going blind. Now wipe them eyes.
Yes, Mom.
Okay, I'll show you how to do something once. I'll help you if you mess up twice, but the third time, you're on your own, because that's the way it is in the world. All right, now get up. Remember, you going blind, but you ain't stupid. Remember how many stairs there were?
4.
Good. You're going to have to learn how to use your memory. Now turn around, and I want you to hold out your hands and use them as your eyes and find a door. Good. That's real good, baby.
Good now.
I hear you too, Mama. You're right there.
Yes, I am.
Why are you crying, Mama?
'Cause I'm happy.
Wow. The restraint that she has not to cross her boundaries and just help her son just because he's struggling. Amazing. We can learn from her about boundaries. She's always present in his life. She was right there. She hugged him, said, I'm happy. I love you. You know what she's doing? She's preparing him for the battles of life. I mean, your kid may not be blind, but they're facing huge challenges ahead of them. You got to prepare them for the future. And here's the deal. You can never be perfect. You will fail as parents. But guess what? This is God's promise. I will be a father to you. I will be a father to your children. He will fill the gap that you miss, that you leave out. And you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That's why teach your child in the instructions of the Lord. Let them learn to depend on God. Let them know that they can count on God all the time because they are God's sons and God's daughters.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.